Welcome to Merchman Seeds Cup of Joe. On this episode, Caleb Moore from Moore Planter Works and Gavin Burgess from Precision Planting join us. Hear an overview of wear parts and general planter maintenance, as well as discussing innovations from Precision Planting.
Hi, welcome to this week's Cup of Joe. I'm Lynn Williams, and today I'm with Caleb Moore from Moore Planter Works. And today we're going to go over a little bit of planter maintenance and talk about some of the upgrades that Precision Planting has and some of the ROI opportunities that they have with their portfolio. So Caleb, today we're sitting in front of a 1790 John Deere, and in this instance, it's right out of the shed and getting ready for maintenance for the year. So what are some things when you get the planter out that you're looking for from a maintenance standpoint and a wear standpoint?
Yeah, so when I always get around a planter, the first place I'm always going to start is checking our parallel arm wear, see what we got there. So to do that, I typically just come behind the row unit, lift up on the tail end of it here, and just lift up vertical on it, see what type of vertical play we have in it, do some side-to-side pushing on it. As you can see on these arms, these ones are getting some decent wear to where they probably could use some replacing, some attention, and that is the agenda for these ones, is to get after these and get these replaced for the upcoming season. From there, why parallel arm maintenance is important is the more slop you have in these arms, so as you're in the planting position and you get a bunch of play and slop in your bushings and holes here, what that does is that's making this whole row unit back here rock forward, rock back, and that is affecting how the row unit engages with the ground. The more slop you have in here, the more negatively that can affect your planting depth. Emergence correlates with planting depth. You want to keep that as even as possible. So ensuring these are tight is the first priority one person should have when starting with the row unit. From the parallel arms there, I will typically always say, let's do some meter testing. Go through these meters, make sure there's no wear parts in them that are shot, because everything, your stand starts with how well the meter is singulated and how evenly seed is being dropped down into that furrow. So starting with a meter test, calibration would be the first thing after the parallel arms that I would say, let's start there and making sure we have everything performing well there. So for doing the meter test, what that entails is me taking the meter myself, and I have a Meter Max bench stand from Precision Planting. It can test finger meters, vac meters, virtually any meter that you might have on your planter, most of them. We put that on the stand, we can punch in a simulated planting speed, change the vac pressure, everything like that. And what we're doing there is that meter, or the meter stand, is spinning the meter itself, whether you have chain drive planter or you have V drive, the electric drive on your meter. We can do either of those. Going through them, making sure all the wear parts, like I said, are solid, and just from there it'll give us a singulation reading each individual meter on how each meter performs is what that process entails.
So what's considered a acceptable measure on your singulation as you're doing that testing?
Vac meters, I don't like to see anything under 99%. When we get to finger meters, OEM finger meters, pretty much you're going to see 96 to 97 out of them. But finger meters, I try everything I can to get at least 98.5 out of them, because every percent drop in singulation you see, you can expect to see about a bushel and a half to 2 bushel difference, just how well that meter's putting a seed in the ground. So pretty cheap insurance as well to make sure that you're getting the most out of the meter as possible. From the meter, we start working down and just start looking at all the hardware. Before I take any gauge wheels off, I just like to lift them up while holding the gauge wheel here, wiggling back and forth, trying to make sure we don't have a bunch of slop up here in our gauge wheel arm itself. These ones aren't too bad. We do have the setup here to we can just tighten a thrush bushing or thrush washer and a jam nut here to tighten those up, so it doesn't take much to tighten those up. If you're running OEM style arms, Deere, Kinze, Case, any of them, if you start to get a bunch of wobble in there, then you know that this hole in here is getting worn out and we just need to get new arms, time to replace there. So, and having those have a bunch of slop, again, the more slop you have in there, these are what control your planting depth. So if you have a bunch of slop in there, again, planting depth is affected. Row unit ride is affected. How well that row unit's smoothly going across the field. All those factors contribute to poor emergence, poor row unit ride. Want to make it as smooth as possible. after the gauge wheels. We go into our disc openers, Deere, Kinze, Case, virtually all planter manufacturers. Disc openers typically are going to be 14 to 15 inches in diameter new, depending on manufacturer. Half inch wear. Once you have 14 and a half, 13 and a half, whatever your OEM spec is, new on that diameter blade, it's time to replace them. So always check out that. I pop one side off while the other disc opener is still on there and tight, wiggle back and forth to make sure bearings are all still tight. Once everything checks out there, move down into our seed tube guard. We don't want our seed tube guard too narrow. We want to make sure that is still within spec, because if you get a seed tube guard that is too narrow, then that allows your disc openers to flex in more when those disc openers go down in the ground. So seed tube guard is in its name. It is there to protect your seed tube, so you're not prematurely wearing that, but it also helps create that uniform furrow and making sure that seed gets all the way down to the desired depth you have that T-handle set to. So those are kind of just the quick few things that I check out on the front and middle side of the row unit. Last thing I typically do is just come to closing wheels here. Again, this is planter specific, so Deere and Kinze white are the ones where you can really check this, but putting your, releasing all the tension off your T-handle, lifting up on it, and then from there just wiggling it back and forth to see how much slop you could possibly have up here in these mounting holes. We addressed this one last year because it had some slop starting there. Had to get these kits put on there to ensure that that thing didn't have any side-to-side slop at all. Make sure that they stay perfectly centered over your seed trench, not compacting your seed, your furrow right on top of your seed. So those are just kind of the quick few things that I always check out when doing an inspection, getting around a planter. So from there, yeah, those are just the basic bare bones of everything I check out.
Very good. What do you commonly see that guys, when they come to you to have their inspection, what are some things that you see more times than not being issues that aren't being addressed?
The main things that I see the most are parallel arms. I have replaced some before or started talking to guys and they said, well, those arms should have some vertical play in them. You don't want them to be super tight, and that's not the case. You shouldn't have any vertical or horizontal movement on those. So that's probably the main thing I see. Another one that I see a lot of is guys going off of their operator's manual on where to set 2 inches or wherever it is on the T-handle here, or whatever make or model it is. But across an entire planter frame, every single gauge wheel arm, mustache in there, T-handle linkage, disc opener wear, everything is going to wear differently. But no planter row unit is going to be the same on your 2-inch depth setting here, or whatever depth you set it at. It's not going to be the same across each individual row. So as you can see here, Lynn and Russ already have a homemade custom design here, but it's exactly as you see, 2 2x4s. If you wanted to get to exactly 2 inches, 2x4, 1/2 inch piece of plywood on top, so that's exactly 2 inches. And all you're doing with this is you're going to deepen your T-handle up all the way, put a floor jack underneath the cross member here, and all you're doing is going, putting these under each individual gauge wheel, lifting up, and as you lift up, you're gonna have 2 inches already measured depending on how you build it, or just mark 2 inches on whatever you use so you know exactly where that is. And from there, once you got the floor jack lifting them up and you've hit that 2 inches, you're just gonna go ahead and set your T-handle right there. Paint marker where 2-inch setting is on each individual row. And then from there, you know exactly where 2 inches is on each row, and you can make changes as needed throughout the season from there. So those are probably two of the main things that I see guys are kind of forgetting about or possibly not knowing about when we're talking about planter maintenance preseason inspections. So
very good. Thanks, Caleb. So now I'm with Gavin Burgess, who's the regional manager for our area with Precision Planting. And you want to kind of go over a little bit of what we got going on with this planter from, some add-ons that we have available that's not from the factory, and maybe some agronomic insight and some ROI, and then anything that you feel like is coming down the pipeline with Precision that our listeners would enjoy for today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, so this planter here we got, like Lynn said, you think about stock and what it comes from the factory. We start to look at, hey, how can we improve that agronomics? How do we make sure as we go across a farm, that it's suitable, the equipment we have on our planter is suitable for what our conditions we're going into. We got to remember the guys at the factories making these planters are making them really just a blanket planter, right? That's good, hopefully, in most areas, but it's not specialized for you. So as you guys have different conditions, no-till, cover crops, as we're planting different crops, there's a number of things we look at to say, what can we do to maximize that planter's abilities in our area as we go from field to field? So some of the upgrades that you guys have done over the years on this planter here, we've went to that V-set meter system that, like Caleb talked about earlier, really gives us that ability to make sure we're putting out every seed one at a time and getting that picket fence stand. We want to make sure that one seed at a time is coming out. We're not getting doubles. We're not getting skips as we go across the field, because we know that if we don't, for every seed in our 1/1000th of a acre test, so if we're doing 30-inch rows, we're 17 feet 5 inches, every plant that's not there is costing me 7 bushel. So that's a huge impact right off the top. If I'm planting 32,000 and I've only got 31,000 plants out there in an acre, I've lost all those. I put that same input, I put that same money, the fertilizer, into every one of those seeds, and I'm already getting rid of 1,000 of them in 1 acre. That's a huge impact. So 7 bushel off the top right out there. We want to make sure every one of those seeds comes up and gets up out of the ground. So a meter, like Caleb stated earlier, is crucial in the fact that it's getting every one of them out and it's not giving competition to its neighbor. As we look farther up, we talk about the downforce management. Caleb talked a lot about really tightening that planter up and making sure nothing's moving and shaking on this row unit. One of the other things that we move into as we think about variability on the planter is the different zones that each row unit goes through in the field. So not only do we have different soil types as we go through a field, sometimes we may have some different tillage. We went through, we cleaned up some compaction areas around a waterway with a piece of tillage equipment. The rest of our field's a no-till or something. We got two totally different zones there. In the past, you would have springs and airbags up on the front of your planter. And as you look at that, you wouldn't stop and adjust those as you went through the different areas of the field, right? Because we didn't have the time to stop every time we go through a different zone. So as we look at that, the hydraulic downforce systems that we put on here, this Delta Force system from Precision Planting, really allows us to have a row by row change to the exact condition that that one row is seeing. And we know that as we think about this 16 row planter, one wing on the left side, one row over there, may see a different environment than this row right here as it goes through a field. One of them in the center could be on the tire tracks and seeing more compaction in that area versus the one out here on the wing where it's not seeing any of those compaction zones. Then we talk about combine tracks and sprayer tracks and anything else that went across that field. There's a lot of variability when we think about a field and how that works. So the Delta Force system utilizes a weigh pin on every row. So it's a strain gauge system that's sitting there looking at that linkage. When we start to get weight on the gauge wheels and holding them things up and carrying that weight, we know that our disc openers are to the depth like Caleb talked about when we set our T-handle. So once we see that weight, it starts to measure that. From the cab in the monitor, we literally can go in and put what's that weight that we want to carry on our gauge wheels for the insurance. What's that extra that we want to make sure is carried on there to keep that seed in the ground at the right depth, firm that sidewall up so that we don't have any collapse of that sidewall. And so as we look at those type of things and we think about that upgrade from a spring and airbag system that didn't have that row by row functionality to something that's able to really read and react within a fifth of a second, you're looking somewhere in that 8 to 9 bushel differences on a year-to-year basis as we go through there. And the thing about these systems, the tougher the conditions you get in, the more these things shine. It's amazing what you can see difference from a row-to-row basis as well as in fields as these things really can get stretch their legs and keep that row unit stable in the ground and moving forward.
So essentially between, you know, the electric drive and the Delta, we almost have 16 different individual planters across this particular
You're exactly
planter.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what we try to teach guys is really you've got to manage every row as its own because it's seeing a different scenario. One of the other things that's really cool about as we look at the metering systems and we add those electric drives and that make them that individual row themselves is as we think about contours in our fields. So as you think about a contour in your field, and if, traditionally we would have a hex shaft going across here, right? And that's what's driving the speed of that meter as we move forward. As we think about a hex shaft, it's only being driven by one spot, whether that be a hydraulic motor or a ground drive unit. it's just going around and we're seeing that turn. Well, you're actually keeping all these at the same. But when we go around a contour, we think about this row as it swings on the outside. It's moving extremely fast compared to some of the other rows on the planter. And then the inside rows on that contour are barely moving at all. Sometimes with planters, certain planters, they might even be moving backwards a little bit. So as you look at that, those electric motors, one of the benefits to them is to keep the right amount of population going around those contours at all times. So it's really, really cool how, yeah, you really end up with 16 individual planters when you go to looking at these planters.
Yeah, and just anecdotally from our farm, you know, putting this on this year, you're exactly right. And you go, you look back and you get on the monitor and look at the hydraulic downforce applied. One thing that stood out to me was I could see exactly the path that the anhydrous tractor and tanks went through the field.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you translate that to the yield standpoint, and there is there's a year this year that was really good for us that we really didn't see that variability from, you know, fence line to fence line, end to end. And you know, some might say we had really good growing conditions, but historically we've always seen a little bit of variability across the field in those situations, and in my opinion that has a lot to do with that as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's taking out that variable, right, that we didn't have before basically in that planting operation. So yeah, other things on these planters that Lynn has added to this thing, we've got the clean sweep cylinders up front running on those road cleaners, really giving us some stability to those road cleaners. As you think about road cleaners being mounted on the front of our planters, some of the neater things with those is they were designed on there to really clean that out, get that residue out of the way from last year's crop, and be able to make sure we're getting a really nice dark strip of soil showing so we get that heating of the soil. We need moisture and heat to germinate a seed. And so as we think about clearing that out, really the big factor in that is really making sure that we're getting that heat penetration in the soil to do that. So the downfalls to some row cleaners is they only have a certain amount of weight. We talked about conditions earlier, you know, and there's just a number of conditions guys are going into. We've got vertical tillage, you've got strip till, you got no-till, you got conventional tillage. Row cleaners are very susceptible to whatever conditions you put them in. If you look at all the different row cleaners out there on the market today, you have row cleaners all the way from a low a weight as 20, 25 pounds, all the way up to some of the heaviest ones are in that 75, 80 pound range. So if we think about taking an 80-pound row cleaner and going out in a conventional tillage situation, there's a high likelihood we're going to plow a lot. Plowing is going to cause that trough. We get that first rain after we plant the seed, and now we're just holding all that water right on top of that seed. Really detrimental to it. We go to the other option, and we think about a really light row cleaner, and we put it in a no-till cover crop situation, and that thing's really going to struggle to clean because it doesn't have enough physical weight to do that. So adding these air cylinders on the front of here really help us from the cab as we're going across the field manage that, right? We can add 20 extra pounds of pressure to that if we need to give it more weight to push through that cover crop or that no-till situation, or we can take a little bit off and it lifts it up. I think the studies we've seen over the years, year over year on some of our farms and stuff we've studied, we see about an 8-bushel advantage going to a floating row cleaner setup. But then we see an additional advantage going to adding that air cylinder on there, sometimes in that 5 to 8 bushel. And again, it's more comes back to some of these ROIs. The tougher conditions you have, the better it is for you.
For sure. Yeah, we saw that with the previous row cleaners that we had on it. We also had a no-till coulter as well. And what we were running into was on some conventional till, good flat black prairie style soils. If we get a little bit drier, they get really mellow. And what happened was exactly what you talked about. We'd create a reverse hip tillage system, and then we turn around and go to the no-till that we have in our operation as well, and just wasn't quite getting exactly the cleaning and the ability to get that seed in the ground. So this has been from a management standpoint, something that took you go across 16 rows and have to pick them all up. Now we just turn the switch and we're off for the races, and from a time management standpoint, it's really valuable.
No, I mean, I think one of the cool things that you think about row cleaners are that a lot of guys don't think about, but I talk about a lot. It's the one thing from the tractor seat that you can actually see it working.
For sure.
Right? We can look back here, but we can't see seed coming out of the seed tube. We can't see that row unit bouncing and how well it's riding, but we can see that row cleaner doing its job. So being able to see that, make those adjustments as you're going across the field, like you said, switching conditions to conditions, like most farmers are today, we get that ability to adjust that from the cab. So that's really crucial. Last thing, hey, as we think, we move back on this planter, some of these additions on here, you look at closing wheels, right? Closing wheels, you guys as farmers today have a tremendous amount of options as closing wheels go. I think the last time we looked, there's probably 9,000 options for you guys' closing wheels, between adding a rubber wheel on one side and a spike on the other, and all the different brands and styles of spikes and two-stage closing wheel systems that are out there. You have a lot of options to go through. And again, it comes back to choosing the right one for the conditions you're in. And sometimes you may need a NASCAR pit crew out there going through changing them when you go from field-to-field conditions, like Lynn was talking about. So really, it's about understanding how those things interact with the soil. You have, we go back to those rubber wheels, right? The standard rubber wheels that come on our closing wheels. Those things weigh about 3 pounds if we take one of those off. Not a tremendous amount of weight there. So we're really relying on that spring pressure to come in and picking that right spring pressure. We also look at some of these cast style ones, right? And then we start adding that weight, and we can get up into that 19, 20 pounds range per wheel on here. So that's, you know, that can be 40, 45 pounds back here on a planter, a tail. That's managing that spring tension differently. But one of the neat things we found here in these last few years that's a little alarming is there's a lot of difference from spring tension to spring tension from one row to the next. We've got some things where we've put some weight underneath of these. We've added the spring tension here. And just like Caleb said, the variance in depth with our T-handle settings, we're seeing a lot of weight variance from row to row going across a planter on a T-handle. We've actually got some where we've found used planters, there's a 20-pound difference in notch one across that planter in the maximum weight that was applied by one row and the minimum on another row. So it's crazy to think that there's variance going across there as we look at that. And then we move it to notch three, and we did the same thing, and we got even more variance. It was closer to 30 pounds of difference going across that planter. So there's a lot of variance back here on this thing that we're looking at. This is something that we've really got to manage as we go to the farm and the fields and the different conditions, because as we think about a wetter soil, we've got to be really careful to make sure we don't compact it and smash that seed down in with these. But we also look at a drier soil, and we can't go in and barely touch it and let it fall in. We've really got to push those soil particles together and get that capillary action to pull that moisture to that seed as we think about that. So as we go back to the wheels themselves, you really need to choose wheels that are right for your operation, right? Are they getting the job done? Are they closing up the soil types? Do I have a heavy clay soil where I need to get some movement in that, almost a little bit of tillage to get that sidewall to break up and get that thing back to where we've got good soil contact around that seed? Am I really light and fluffy? Do those rubber wheels work for me still? And so there's a lot of things back here, but again, it's really testing and make sure you're using that right option on there for a closing wheel system to really close that seed. As we think about the optimal closing wheel system, when I go back to dig a seed, it should be hard to find. That tells me I found the right closing
Absolutely.
Wheel.
What solutions from precision standpoint do you have when, you know, we have the add-on in the front, we have the add-on there, as far as the closing wheels go, what have you come up with, and what's, you know, your research showing for the optimal closing conditions, I guess, or ROI when you nail that down?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been doing closing wheel studies for probably 15, 20 years now, just testing what was out on the market. When it comes to these wheels type like this, really the biggest thing is we see weight being a big advantage. That really has helped a lot. Just holding that weight, keeping that tail stable and engaged with the ground. So those cast systems seem to always score a little higher in our ROI as well as our yield return on a closing wheel study. But one of the things we kept running into is we just were never really satisfied with the results. We didn't feel like we could go from a no-till field over to a conventional tilled field or a vertical tilled field and really get the same results that we wanted to without having to, again, to have that pit crew out there changing wheels out every time we change conditions. And so we ended up designing our own called Furrow Force, and it's a two-stage closing wheel system where it lifts and fractures from the front with the spike wheels, and then it has rollers on the back that come along and set that soil density. Now, it's unlike some on the two-stage closing wheels on the market today, because this system is actually active from the cab. So we're going to tell it, just like we manage our downforce, how much weight we want to have on those back wheels. And when we have weight on those wheels, we know that that front stage system is doing its job. It's at the right depth of lifting and fracturing that sidewall. But we have seen tremendous results out of this. Jason Webster at our PTI farm here this summer has seen about an 8-bushel advantage over other closing wheel systems across all tillage conditions with that system, and that active system. So really excited about that system and what it can do for growers in terms of flexibility, right? We can go across any type of condition and still know that we're closing that system up and putting that seed in the best seed to soil environment we can.
All right, so there's a lot of stuff that Precision Planting has out. You know, if you look at the website, look at the research that's coming out here, that you know, from either a logistics or a cost standpoint, we haven't got to that point yet that it's all on there. But what else is out there that you guys have that you know, isn't in front of the viewer right now on this planter, but you're pretty excited about the technology and the usefulness of the tools that you have at your disposal?
Yeah, so I mean, a couple things that we've kind of developed here these last couple of years. One is really that we go back to that row cleaner setup. And one of the things Caleb kind of hit on earlier is we talked about keeping that row unit tight and how it affected that seed delivery and drop. One of the things we started to see as we looked at our ride levels on our mapping systems was those row cleaners with those front swinging arms really tend to see a lot of shock and absorption into that shank because they're attached right to that shank. So one of the things we've done here is we've actually designed a new row cleaner that mounts directly on the bar, and it's a rear trailing system. So it takes up the same real estate as what this existing row cleaner does, but it's mounted on the bar. So all that absorption and shock is removed from this. So we don't have to worry about that row cleaner then in taking advantage of that. One of the neat features on it is it actually has an internal gauge wheel itself that helps it ride on the flow surface and makes it really smooth. It cleans out. It does a really good job of making sure that that system is clean and we're riding right on that dirt with that gauge wheel. It kind of gives us that depth stop like we talked about earlier with guys that ran treader wheels or something like that. It gives us that option to hold that thing up out of the ground and keep it from plowing. But it's a really integrated piece because it also gives us the ability to adjust our tine engagement on that. So that depth is adjustable and it allows us to say, hey, if I've got just a little bit of no-till soybean stubble where I've got maybe a half inch or a quarter inch of residue on top, I don't need all two and a half inches of tine engagement from those wheels up front. I can shallow that up and only engage about a half inch of those tines and really just brush that soybean residue off the top. Say we go to a tillage situation where I need to get down in the soil and remove whatever tillage whatever residue we've tilled into the soil, that's going to allow me to adjust that again and get a little more tine engagement to remove that soil or that residue out of the soil as we go across the fields.
Does that do that row by row then, or is it a...
So yes, you would have your air control to that on a planter wide basis. Gotcha. On that. Yep. One of the other things I think is really unique, and I specifically myself really like it, is as we think about these T-handle systems, right? We've got that variability that Caleb talked about earlier with the linkage. We have a system we call Smart Depth Out. It is an automated depth adjustment system. And what that does is it works with our smart firmer systems that's reading that soil moisture levels, those organic matters as it goes across the field. But it's an automated depth adjustment system. So we put a little 12-volt motor on here and we take this T-handle out. And then it's working with that. And we go in the monitor and we can say, hey, I want it to be between 30 and 40% soil moisture, which we know that's the level we want to be at to get that seed to germinate right away. And we go in there and we say, hey, well, I'm going to give it the ability to go a minimum depth of 1 3/4, maximum depth of 3 inches, whatever your variables are that you want to stay in. And you allow that thing to do it on its own. It adjusts that as it goes across the field. So as we think about variability right out here, you may have a tile riser area where it's holding a lot of moisture in a water area. If I plant that thing at 2.5 inches, I'm planting it down into a lot of moisture, right? And it's going to struggle to emerge because it's overwhelmed with moisture. But then if I think about a dry knob, you know, we get a timber soil out here that we go across and it's a really dry, airy soil. I know I want to plant deeper in that area. So our decision making today is we've got to make sure we make the depth decision as we go to the field to maximize the whole field and all the conditions to where that smart depth allows us to let it change itself as it goes across the field. I think that's one of our products that's going to be coming here in the next few years and start to see a bigger push on it that's really going to add bushels to guys' farms. It takes that set it and forget it out of it, and it makes it adjustable and allow you to see that visibility from the cab.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw last year, we started the year off here locally where we're kind of dodging the rainstorms, and then soil conditions were perfect, and then we forgot to catch moisture, and by the end of the year we were actually planting into a little bit of a maybe even too dry a situation, so we had to lower that down to almost to the 3-inch range. And like you said, there is for most folks that probably aren't in the in the flat black two soil type fields, you're running anywhere from potentially 1¾ inches down to close to 3 inches trying to chase that moisture. And I've been in that seat trying to run out, adjust, and then the problem with that too that I run into personally is that a lot of times when you see those spots, you're already past it, and you look back and you see it in hindsight. So I think that is that's a really unique idea and product development that you guys have that takes a little bit of that potential for the human error that comes into play and the operator stress that comes with planning when we get to that time of the year. Because a lot of times, when we get to the end of the season, we're just kind of ready to be done and ready to go. And we kind of lose that that sharpness and have that mental fatigue. And some of these products, do you have to potentially look at a monitor a little more closely than what you did before? But it's letting computers and AI take over that decision-making and move forward and give you the best chance to have the best emergence and the best yield that you have. So.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's really one of our main goals as we think about our engineering team at Precision Planting. Being a lot of farmers, they go on home on the weekends and nights and do the same thing, right? Like you do. Go home and got to plant and work late. They come home and they find an issue on their operation, and they come back in and they work on it the next day. So it's really great that they think about these things and think about operator error and ease of use from a farmer standpoint. And that's really one of the big goals, is to get the ROI, but also be easy to operate for a farmer.
Absolutely. All right. So Gavin, Caleb, appreciate you guys being on Cup of Joe today. If folks want to get a hold of you, Caleb, what's the best contact information to get a hold of you?
You can find me on Facebook, More Planter Works LLC. Give that a search. Phone number's listed on there. If you're not on Facebook, get a hold of Lynn. He can forward you my number as well. Be the best and easiest, fastest way to get a hold of me.
Yep. Perfect. Gavin, what about you?
Yeah. So I'm regional manager for Eastern Iowa. If you need to get a hold of me, best way is to go through Caleb, our premier dealer network. We've got a great trained group of guys that around the country that do a phenomenal job helping guys get planters ready for their operations every year.
Awesome. Well, appreciate your guys' time and information here today.
Yep.
We're not going to let you go quite yet. It's a tradition on Cup of Joe that we have to have the corny joke. So, all right, this is terrible, but why did the female pig dump her boyfriend?
Don't know.
Because he's a real bore. All right. We appreciate everyone tuning in today. I appreciate your business, and hope you and your family are safe, and thanks for watching.